Well, firstly, thank you very much for inviting me back after preaching last time, a little while ago. And I'm going to talk about John's third letter. And I've entitled this talk, Friends and Foes. You should be able to see a picture of the long-running sitcom Friends, just as an introduction to what we're going to talk about today. I'd like to introduce you to the person who wrote the letter. And he's traditionally regarded as John the Evangelist, John the person who wrote the Gospel of John. And John is thought to have written this letter near the end of his life. So this is probably one of the very last letters, last books of the Bible written. And he introduces himself for the first, if you've got it open in front of you, hopefully, he introduces himself as the elder. And this is very typical of John, that he doesn't really draw attention to himself or give himself any importance. And if you have read his gospel, he ends his gospel, towards the end of his gospel in John chapter 21, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then in verse 24 of chapter 21 of the gospel, he says, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true." So he doesn't kind of write to himself as a third person, if you like, very self-effacing. And he must have been ever so well known by the Christians of his day. And he probably didn't need to introduce himself to the people who are in the church, because he's probably the last of the original apostles still alive at that time. And of course, when he wrote to Gaius, he's writing to a personal friend. So from what we can see in the introduction of this letter. So the reason I'm bringing all these things together is to sort of introduce you a little bit to the person writing the letter, so you can get a feeling of his character and realize that he's faithful to the truth, and that he'd like to, he himself invites us to think about three people in this letter. And I'm going to think of them as whether they're friends or foes of the gospel. And you'll see how this follows through as I begin talking. So the first of these is a man called Gaius. Now, Gaius is introduced in the beginning of the letter as my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So I'm starting off thinking that he's in the friend camp. And when John writes of him, he refers to him, he looks like he's going to be someone who's keen to help, but really needs to learn a bit about who are friends and enemies of the gospel. He needs to learn a bit about what he's doing. It sounds like he's one who's ready for instruction. And when John writes of him, he gives him three really good characteristics. The first of this is faithfulness to the truth. Gaius continues to preach the gospel of truth and sticks to this despite pagan and secular people who might, whatever anyone else might be saying about him. That's his first characteristic. His second is that he's hospitable. He gives hospitality to brothers and sisters, to Christians who come and visit him. And it was very important in those days, because the gospel was spreading mainly by people who were itinerant evangelists, people who brought the good news from city to city, from place to place, and they usually had no means of support apart from the help of believers in each locality. And this is something that John mentions in what he's saying to Gaius. And he recommends them because of their dedication to the gospel, the hardship they have to go through in doing this, and the fact that they also share in a ministry together with those and need that support. And this is linked to Malcolm's prayer earlier and help for modern day missionaries. they equally go out, they are equally sent ones working for the gospel. And I'd like to encourage you to share in gospel ministry across the world. And this is a kind of a little bit of a parenthesis, but Rosario and I, my wife Rosario and I, we're involved in a ministry called Good News for Everyone, which used to be called the Gideons. And we recently did some missionary work in our capital, in London. We gave out scriptures to care homes, and it's all a bit different under COVID, I have to say. And we also gave out good news magazines. I'm going to stop sharing for a sec and show you my screen, called Hope. And I can let you have, if you'd like to have one, I can let you have any number of those if you'd like to have them. And they're actually John's Gospel, the same John who we've been talking about. Hopefully, if I go, if I share my screen again, I can go back to where I was. Hopefully, yes, good. And so that work we've done, it needs prayer, it needs support, and this is something that people who go out to the world need our help for that. So that's a bit of a parenthesis to what John's writing, but it's still true today. What was going on then? There are evangelists and preachers all over the world. Finally, thirdly, in the case of Gaius, he loves other people. And this is not a big thing in this particular passage, but it's an underlying characteristic of Gaius that he cares about other people. And this is something that John brings out in all his letters. And in John's first letter, he makes it clear that this is what is the whole point of the gospel. He says in John 1 John 4, verse 16, being verse 17, whoever, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. And I'll come back to that theme, we are like Jesus, later. It's very important that we remember the supreme example we have. So John, the author of the letter, commends Gaius for these things and confirms that he has heard about his good witness for the gospel. And I think we would agree from those things that Gaius is a friend and good example to follow. The next person, Diotrephes, probably might not be considered to be such a good friend to the gospel. He comes across as someone who is self-centered and self-important. He likes to boss others about. He rejects the authority of other people, even if they are highly respected. And I'm thinking of John, the author of this letter, himself. He likes to make decisions based on his own wisdom. And John reveals three characteristics of Diotrephes. He says first, if you read letter, he says in verse 9, he loves to be first. So he's a dominant personality, and he might even be a leader of the church, of the local church where Gaius went. And this characteristic means that he doesn't think about other people quite so much as his own importance. And actually, there are people like him in every generation. And for the church, we need to realize that there is only one head, and that is Jesus Christ. No one else should take his place as preeminent in our hearts. And equally, if we're in tempted to impose our will on others, we should remember that Jesus was particularly unfavorable to the kind of person who likes the best seats in the synagogue. And he gives a lot of other things that are those sort of people do. And he says, such people will be punished most severely. If you look that up in Mark's Gospel, verse 12, or chapter 12, verses 38 to 40. So this is the thing. We must be willing to be humble and reflect the gospel first. Another thing about Diotrephes is that he doesn't look after other people. He refuses to help other people. It's part of the same philosophy as charity begins at home. Horrible phrase. It's completely at odds with John's recommendation and the advance of the gospel. The very people Gaius helps or wants to help, Diotrephes rejects, are the evangelists and teachers that work together for the truth with other believers. In other words, these are the people who are bringing the good news. Now, it's possible that, and we don't know for sure because it's not specified in this letter, but Diotrephes possibly supports a heresy in the church. And he wants to encourage people who are heretical to speak and reject the people who bring the true gospel. This was a particular problem in the early church. It hasn't gone away today, but there's also this sense that he rejects the very people that John recommends to Gaius because they're speaking the truth. He rejects other people who might be bringing a different view to his own. It's back to this self-centeredness, his own ideas being first and first in his thinking. And then on the third part, he spreads malicious gossip. Completely opposite to being faithful to the truth, of course. And he's bending the truth to suit his own agenda. Very like today in the era of fake news. So therefore, beware of accepting what people are saying without being able to verify it. And also include in that what I'm saying today, of course. And I hope you have your Bibles in front of you, have put in front of you to see that I am referring to the Bible itself. And this is what John writes in his first letter in 1 John 4, verses 4 to 6. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. These are the people who don't tell the truth. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. This is all these false teachers, false spirits. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So it's all about recognizing things that marry with the word of God, that speak from a godly viewpoint, not from a worldly viewpoint. And this is the problem with Diotrephes. He thinks in a worldly way, not in a godly way. The next person, so that was the second person of our trio of people we've been invited to speak about, to think about. The next person is a man called Demetrius. Now, he seems to be a bit of a star. Sorry, the picture isn't really bearing in relation to what I'm going to say. So he has become highly recommended. And he's well spoken of and given as a good example. If you look at verses 11 and 12, he may well have been the messenger who brought the letter to Gaius. So this might be why John is recommending him. And John says, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth itself. That could refer to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or it could be just that John recommends him, just a way of saying that he recommends him. John doesn't actually go too far in promoting Demetrius. He doesn't say very much about him. And as usual with John, he gives understatement. He doesn't overdo it. And I'm sure if Demetrius was the bringer of the message, he could talk about him, say himself who he is and explain what he's done, if asked. But this is what the author, John, writes to his friend Gaius. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Actually, the way Joe read it earlier, from the New Living Translation, is even better, really. If I can remember correctly, it goes along the lines of, don't copy what Diotrephes does, but do what's good. Remember what the gospel is. Be godly. And actually, anyone who does what is evil is not godly. Anyone who copies that way of thinking is not godly. So someone who has seen God, someone who is able to follow good a good way of doing things, a good example, is someone who's seen Jesus, like Philip, when Philip asked Jesus about this, he said, Jesus asked, how do we know the way? And Jesus says, don't you know, Philip, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then Jesus follows on with a follow-on question, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So we realize that Jesus is our supreme example. So from thinking about good examples and bad examples, the very best example is, of course, Jesus himself. And John is writing to Gaius to explain why Diotrephes is such a bad example and should not be followed. One thing I'd like to say is for sure, I think all three of those people are Christians, as far as we know. They all go to church. So even though we've said good and bad examples in different people, that doesn't mean to say they're not Christians, because it's not really about theology, their theology. We don't know what their theology is exactly. We just know about something about their behavior. And this is part of the thing that we're thinking about ourselves. And this is why it's about our attitude to other people that matters. And I'm going to refer you to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, and verses 1-5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest of the kingdom in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So Jesus himself gave us this instruction. He is the one John refers to in his letter as the truth, really, in capital letters. It is truth completely at odds with the attitude of Diotrephes, who rejects others and will not take a lowly position, in contrast to what we hear about Gaius. So we realize that kingdom values turn the values of this world upside down. And quite a lot of people find that very difficult. But it doesn't mean that Jesus has rejected them. That's not true. Even if it seems like I've been talking about friendly and unfriendly behavior as a Christian, please don't go away thinking this is how you become a Christian. It's not about your behavior, it's how you become a Christian. Everyone is welcome to share in his generous offer. You see, he takes a lowly position and he's willing to welcome all people. And even though we may not be brilliant, we've got all sorts of problems, we don't match up to the perfect Christian, if there is such a thing, we can still be accepted by Jesus. What really counts is our faithfulness to the truth. And that truth is Jesus himself. So we need to be faithful to him, have faith in him. And I'd like to, I've really come to the end of the letter, it's not very long. And I'd like to echo the words of the author in verse 14. I hope to see you soon and we will talk face to face. I think we can all say the same of that as that. We all hope to see each other soon and see each other face to face rather than sharing. And I'd like to introduce the phrase Zoom instead of pen and ink. But in the same manner, I'm sure we'd all delight to see each other's face to face. And so we can really feel wholeheartedly with John about wanting to see people. But the conclusion of the letter, and I'd like to conclude what I'm saying with this. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. And when it says greet the friends by name, the only other place in the Bible where it talks about exactly by name in this way is when Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. And all the people who are in his hand He knows them all by name. And I think this is how we, I love the fact that we greeted ourselves at the beginning of the meeting by name. And I'd like to thank you by name, all of you, for coming and sharing with us this evening. God bless you.